Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my friends. I'm Eric Olson, and it is time once again for America's Most Haunted Radio. I could not be more pumped this evening as we are veering somewhat from our traditional, rather staid paranormal investigator discussions, including EVPs and the like. And we are going balls out apeshit tonight because we're talking about Lucha Vavoom. And if you are not from L.A., that is very, very sad. Although I'm just realizing now that they have taken the show on the road. And, of course, we will talk about that. With us tonight are the founders and producers of Lucha Vavoom. Rita, is it D'Albert or just D'Albert?
That's right. D'Albert is so much fancier, but I just go by D'Albert.
I like that. You got to say your letters when you got apostrophes. And Liz,
right.
Is it Fairbairn or just Fairbairn?
Fairbairn. You got it right.
Fairbairn. I know. I've been around. I have been around. I'm a guy who has been around. So let's tell you a little bit about it, just real super quick for those of you who have no idea. And oh my, I see an 818 caller. Oops. Now he went away. Nope. Now he came back. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Oh, I don't know if he's a he or not. Who could it be? I don't know. We'll find out in a moment. But at this very second, let me tell you, it's Halloween and time for Lucha Vavoom's Aztec Horror Shows. And they are October 25th and 6th, excuse me, at the Mayan Theater, in downtown Los Angeles. And we are speaking, as we said, with Rita and Liz. We just got a last second super extra special guest, and we'll talk to him, I think he's a him, in a moment. And they are, Rita and Liz, run and conceived of and participate in Lucha Vavoom. It's the breathtaking, mind-blowing, Mexican masked wrestling burlesque comedy ensemble. And by golly, you're celebrating your 10th anniversary. I'm not going to read all the bio stuff if you're listening. They can pick all that up. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Hola.
Hola. And I believe we have someone from the 818 area code. Who might that be?
Yes, this is Tom Kenny, one of the kooky co-hosts of the Lucha Vavoom Circus.
Tom Kenny, one of my favorite human beings on the entire face of the earth. We won't even talk about SpongeBob.
Wow, thank you. Wow, that's a first.
We'll
just talk about guys in masks beating the hell out of each other and burlesque dancers.
I'm enjoying your pictures getting up close and personal with the hotties.
yeah, that is one of that's one of the perks of the hosting job, I guess.
God, yeah.
I've gotten up close and personal with a wrestler or two too.
Absolutely. I can join the ranks of Andy Kaufman as comedy personalities who've actually gotten their hands dirty wrestling in the ring.
You are all ecumenical and whatnot with your up-close and personals.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's such a insane, beautiful group of people that put this thing on. They're just a real hodgepodge of fun personalities and bizarre square peg human beings. They're people I'd be hanging out with anyway, so I might as well be on stage with them.
Well, why don't we go back to the beginning, since, of course, this is a literally international audience. And, unfortunately, a lot of people haven't had the opportunity, including me, for that matter, to actually see the live show, which I can tell from the videos and from reading the detailed history. It is chaos and madness all at the same time. And we are covering all of the food groups. You got violence. You got sex. You got humor. What is left? You even got chickens.
Yeah. Oh, with minis. With minis.
All right, so why don't we go back to the beginning? How did all this come about? How did the conception of Mexican wrestling and burlesque and comedy all thrown together into a bizarre mishmash of mayhem? And yes, you may use that.
Maybe the best way to put it quickly is Liz was working with Mexican wrestlers. I was working with burlesque dancers, and the two, bam, combined like a Reese's peanut butter cup. The chocolate and the peanut butter, so perfect.
What was that original impulse where you said, hey, I'm doing this, she's doing that, we can combine these? And how did you come up with kind of the initial concept for an actual show. I mean, that's a big leap. You know, you have to realize that you don't just wave your magic wand and have a huge production like this appear.
Yeah, well, Liz knew that people would love Mexican wrestling, and we thought, well, how do we get people to come down? Add girls, and then Liz take it from there.
It was just one of those stupid ideas, you know, like, hey, let's try this. And we did. We had no idea what we were doing. We didn't even know if anybody would show up the first time. And the first time we had Mil Máscaras, who's the oldest still performing wrestler there is, and Hijo del Santo, the most famous son of the most famous wrestler. And we just kind of took a chance on it, you know, and it worked out.
How many people came to that person?
We had like 750 people, I believe.
Has it always been at the Mayan?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We've taken it out of town. Well, you know, the Fillmore is one of our homes, Park West in Chicago, Webster Hall in New York. But the Mayan is our spiritual home.
Well, of course. So in keeping with the year, is it all coming to an end here? You know, not just the show, but, you know, the world at large?
Well, yeah, it is. The whole world's on December. It's my birthday, December 21st, so...
We
don't know what
birthday
remains.
So we're going to try to arrange global Armageddon just to honor your birthday.
Birthday was going to be Armageddon anyways.
Yeah, that's true. But Lucha Baboom will be, you know, we'll be here for the survivors. We'll be here putting on
the
show.
The post-apocalyptic version.
Yeah.
We'll be sweeping it up.
Some zombies just in case.
All right, so tell us about, let's skip ahead then, 10 years. That is amazing. And how often do you do, this isn't an ongoing thing. You're not on every weekend, right? This is, you have special events. I think you do Valentine's, Cinco de Mayo, naturally, and Halloween. Is that right?
Yeah, we do a little anniversary show every August, too, now.
And how many shows do you typically do per each of those sets?
Two or three. Like Cinco, we did the two here and one in Chicago, and we're looking to expand Cinco de Mayo to take over the whole world.
So well,
maybe we'll be able to come to Cincinnati when that happens.
We think everybody deserves to see this.
Well, obviously they do. Yeah, do you find when you take the show out, and I know you've been on TV too, do you find that there's less familiarity in some markets? You know, when you're in L.A., when you're in Southern California, I mean, you're in Northern Mexico. So, you know, everyone knows all about – I'm from L.A., by the way, so I am spiritually attuned with you here. In fact, as we were saying before, back in a previous life when I was a DJ in L.A. in the 80s, I DJed events at the Mayan, and I remember it well. It's a freaky place.
It's fantastic.
But, so anyway, back to the question about culture.
When we get like to Philadelphia, people just get it. It's just fun, and they lose their minds. Like any city, I think Philadelphia, Boston, Baltimore, it just makes people crazy.
Yeah, and it's interesting just in the 10 years that this show's been going on, how Mexican wrestling has just really leapfrogged in popularity to a degree that you wouldn't have thought possible 10 years ago. You know, there was a PBS documentary about Lucha Libre a couple of weeks ago, which I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not. Over in the world,
maybe the death knell.
Exactly.
No. I'm looking forward to girls having barrettes with Lucha Mouse on them instead of kittens with skulls with bones on them.
When I saw that, I was like, yeah, this is kind of cool, but it's also kind of like rock journalism. You know, it kind of takes the fun out of it.
Right. Contradiction in terms, right?
Exactly.
Well, not everybody can be as lucky as us, Tom, and have Lucha in our lives.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, you do see people when you go into markets where they haven't seen it before, in Chicago and Las Vegas and places like that. It is, Lucha Libre is kind of a daily presence here in Los Angeles, but now when you go into those places that don't have it, they're just so excited. It's like nothing they've ever seen before, because you know the wrestlers are so great and so acrobatic and, you know, in an inspiring way, so willing to literally go to the mat and give everything they have in the interest of giving a thrill to the people that pay their money to go there. It's kind of an old school show business ethic that's increasingly rare, I think. You know, they'll just do anything to get a rise out of the audience, and it's really exciting. And you know, even though it is wrestling, there is an element of you don't know what the hell is going to happen next that's in there.
Oh my God!
When I'm looking at those,
jumping off the balcony.
Exactly.
That's what I was just going to say. I'm looking at these videos. I am seeing body after body flying through the air off a balcony. I can't even really tell where they're landing. I hope they're, you know, I hope there's something down there.
They survived.
Yeah, it's very rock and roll, you know, I just got so excited, you know, the first time I went and when I started to see Mexican wrestling here in Los Angeles, it kind of filled this void that I hadn't been feeling about anything lately, whether it was, you know, rock and roll or movies or anything else, where, you know, just visceral, you know, performer audience relationship, where, you know, there's no real wall between this show and the audience. A lot of it happens in the audience, you know, and you know, you just don't, everything is so controlled now and so codified that you just don't see that kind of thing very often. You know, I mean, you know, rock concerts are like Broadway shows now, where, you know, everybody's got their little Britney Spears microphone attached to their head and they're doing their preconceived moves. There's nothing that's happening in the moment. And with Lucha Vavoom, there's stuff, WTF stuff that happens all the time, even to us that are sitting there on the stage going, oh my, I can't believe that Casadro did that, or, you know, whoever.
Yeah, the picture we used, the picture up on the show there, it looks like he's doing a pretty vicious nut grab.
That was just a personal thing.
Wow. Speaking of rock and roll, I think Nut Grab is a great name for a band.
Yeah. And Persistent Fly.
With special guest,
like, there's a common lucha thing, which is a circle nut grab. Not to be missed.
Oh, wow. I guess is that coming from the burlesque side?
I'm telling you, the first time I ever met Tom was at a lucha show in Compton at a Quinceañera hall. Before he ever even did Lucha Vavoom. Tom goes way back before Lucha Vavoom even.
So you're organic with this, Tom.
What's that?
So you're organic with this. This is the real thing.
I saw, you know, I grew up in, you know, kind of Leave It to Beaver, Lily White, East Syracuse, New York. And, you know, when I came out here to Los Angeles and I moved here, I started coming here in the 80s. My friend Johnny Legend, who at one point was a wrestling manager, I think he managed the Aztec Mummy for a time, started taking me to places like Linwood and Maywood and, you know, all the woods to see Mexican wrestling matches, and I just fell in love with it. It was like brilliant and stupid and awesome and crazy and fun, all at the same time. You know, like I said, in a way that I hadn't seen in any performing art stuff in a long time. It was, you know, it was as fun as a circus, but it also was like a punk rock show too. And it was you know, it's not like Cirque du Soleil, this ultra rehearsed, you know, thing that takes, you know, 25 trucks to bring it in. And the show is exactly the same every night. I just fell in love with it. And then, when Liz saw me at this match at the Quinceañera Hall, you know, a restaurant that, you know, they're doing a wedding or a birthday party or a Quinceañera on a Friday night, and then Saturday night they bring in a makeshift ring.
And what I love is all the Quinceañera decorations are still there.
I love
all the paper flowers and
That's really fun when it looks like it's still set up for like a wedding or a birthday party or something, and there's these, you know, sweaty guys hitting each other with folding chairs in the midst of all these beautiful flowers. And
but is isn't that, on a semi-serious note, or maybe on a cultural note, isn't that really kind of the essence of Mexican culture? Because on the one hand, you have the indigenous Indian cultures, and that goes back literally thousands of years, and then you have Catholicism sort of grafted onto that, and it's created this just, you know, kind of amazing, frisson that is kind of unlike most any other culture on earth. You know, on the one hand, it's so colorful and explosive and garish, and yet there's also an extreme delicacy to it. You know, it's fascinating.
Yeah, well, the whole concept of Lucha Libre is the good versus evil. There's always the rudos, who are the bad guys, and the rule breakers, and the technicos, who are the people's wrestler. You know, they're the good guys. They're out to defeat evil.
And there are a bunch of movies, right? Doesn't this go back to how far back does this tradition go? I know there were films in the, was it 50s, 60s, that range? I don't know. They go farther back than that?
Yeah,
the films go back that far, but the concept of the mask was actually born in the United States and taken to Mexico, and then the Mexicans just embraced it and ran with it, basically.
Which was probably the late 1940s. And then, you know, there's something about it that really spoke to the Latino culture, you know. I mean, you know, I guess if you want to get PBS with it, it's all about, you know, back to the whole masky Aztec Mayan thing or whatever. But, you know, it just really took off. So, yeah, you had, gosh, hundreds of films featuring these popular, you know, Mexican wrestlers fighting monsters and demons and werewolves and witches and, you know, good versus evil, you know, times 10 on steroids. So, it, you know, and of course, Santo was the most popular. I think somebody said out of, I don't know, 150 some odd Mexican wrestling movies that were made, he's in 50 of them. You know, he was the guy. You know, he's the Humphrey Bogart, Jimmy Cagney of Mexican wrestling.
And lo and behold, there's always a sexy girl in the movies, usually dancing in a bar.
Well, yeah. Isn't that the way it should be for all movies of every genre?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I remember when I first started seeing these shows, when I first started going out and seeing these shows, like you were saying, it kind of is the essence of Mexican culture. I remember sitting there and going, you know, corned beef and Guinness is okay, but I'm jealous. I'm jealous of these people.
Kind of colorless compared, yes.
Yeah, literally, yes.
Literally, yeah. I mean, I love the garishness of the, you know, the color and the, you know, it's easy to parody when you see the, you know, Spanish language soap operas and on and on and on, because everything is very dramatic. But look, isn't that really how you want to live your life? You know, do you want to be in this little contained gray box, or do you just want to be balls out?
Yeah.
I vote for balls out.
It's your show.
If I had balls, they'd be out right now.
I am talking to the converted, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
So,
you
Tom,
know, people,
when did you get involved with the show? How long have you been involved? And are you doing the Halloween show?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll be there. I'll be there at least one of the two nights, probably, I'm guessing, Thursday. But the first night, Thursday, the 25th, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'll be there. And I started doing it pretty early on, huh, Liz?
Oh, yeah, like 5 years ago at least?
I think more than that.
I think you came in the second year.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think so, too, yeah. It's all a big blur.
We had Fred Armisen and Patton Oswalt. That was like our first wave, and I think you were the second wave that came
Yeah,
in.
See, it's when when there's that much like sweat and tequila and pasties flying around, you tend to lose track of time.
Good God, yes. You know, now that's life being lived.
So yeah, it is so fun. I it's really cathartic, too. I mean, I just really look forward to it, because a lot of the times when I do these shows, I've been working all day. You know, just. You know, flying from cartoon to cartoon and screaming my brains out, you know, and you're kind of exhausted, and you know, you put on your tux or whatever, and you're just like, man, I don't know if I have anything, I've been going for 14 hours, you know, just screaming like James Brown, you know. I hope I can still have something to bring to this. And then as soon as those lights go down and you know, the dancers and the, you know, the wrestlers, and you know, as soon as the show starts, there's just an adrenaline rush that the audience feels. And it's there's really nothing like Lucha Vavoom. It really is an incredible restorative thing. It's incredible.
Hey, since we really are talking about a live show, this isn't just some, you know, usually I'm talking to TV people, typically, you know, on this show, we're talking to paranormal investigators of various types, fascinating people, actually. But, you know, the shows are ongoing. Since this is a very specific thing on two very specific nights, let's make sure that people know that they do need to get tickets and where they can get tickets. They can certainly go to the luchavavoom.com site, and all the information's there. And I love the site, by the way. Man, that is some colorful stuff. And my eyeballs are getting burnt out by that skull on the Aztec Horror poster. I'm loving it. So luchavavoom.com, and you can get tickets. And once again, we're talking about the 16th and 17th, or no, 15th and 16th, right? And that's in Los Angeles.
The 25th
right.
and 26th.
You know what? I'm looking at something. I'm looking at one. I'm not a good multitasker. I'm an idiot. Yes, I am sorry. Let us restate it one more time. It is October 25th and 26th, and that is at the Mayan Theater in downtown L.A., and you can get your tickets at the site. Having said that, since most people just sadly will not have access because they don't live in L.A., and again, we need to make sure that people elsewhere keep their eye out because you do tour. So let's talk about go on that road. Let's talk about that if you have any plans at this point. But I think it would be really great if you guys could kind of combine, maybe just kind of walk us through the show. I mean, tell us what's going on. What are we going to see, or what are we missing, I guess, if we can't go? Just kind of walk us through. Tom, you were starting there. You were kind of saying, you know, you're getting your energy. You're revivified as the show begins. So why don't you just walk us through it a little bit? I think that would be fantastic. And I want to picture myself there.
Okay.
All
you know what I would love to hear? I would love to hear Rita go, you know, kind of explain the difference about the burlesque in Lucha Vavoom as opposed to a lot of the other burlesques out there, because it is really special and different. So maybe
I think I can do both
at the same time, because if you already walked through this show, I don't want to give the whole thing away, but it's going to open with an Egyptian sarcophagus that will contain a lovely Egyptian queen who will rise from the dead and give the pole dance of her career.
Boner City.
But the thing is,
Cleopatra.
She is the most athletic. It's not like a pole dance in a strip club. She's such an artist. You know what I'm talking about, Tom.
Oh,
Leah's
yeah,
just,
absolutely.
It's like going to the Olympics, but it's a sexy lady. She's bananas what she can do. She levitates, basically. So that's like it's always a great way to start the show. And
yeah,
like
we have to
Liz was saying,
the dancing, you know, up there in energy and athletic with the wrestling. So it's a
and
hard
yeah,
time.
If I can say, the show starts even before the show with the hot rods and all that stuff. There's like this pageantry that starts before the show even starts. Can you talk about that a little?
It's true. Like, we want people to be transformed. You know, when the second they park their car, they come up and there's usually mariachis outside. We always have a lowrider and custom car parade that comes up and brings the wrestlers in. People are waiting in line. They're excited. They come into the lobby, and there's photo booths and girls everywhere. And it's a nonstop assault on your senses from the second you walk up to the theater.
Amazing. Yeah. Keep going.
It's kind of like the theme park in Westworld, except the robot doesn't go crazy and kill everything.
I can't wait to see Julie Atlas Muse. That's the one I'm waiting for. That's going to be It's going to be so wrong, it's right, you know?
And it tends to follow kind of a pattern in that there is a, you know, there's a dance number followed by a a lucha match, and they kind of build in intensity and insanity, and you know, both the dances and the wrestling, and there's, you know, comedians like Blaine Kapatch and myself and Dana Gould and Greg Proops, you know, wisecracking or providing white noise, really, because people are making their own jokes and wisecracks as they're watching this stuff in the audience, and it just reaches this crescendo that has to be seen to be believed. It's quintessentially Los Angeles.
We don't stop until everybody in the audience's head has exploded, basically.
Oh, man.
It's a huge mess for the Mayan to clean up, but they don't mind.
I love shows where my head explodes.
People pay extra to get their head to explode.
But it's kind of like the coyote and the roadrunner. You'll always be able to put your head back together and you'll be fine. You know, you'll still be able to work the next day.
It's the cartoon element.
Absolutely. You'll still be able to work the next day. It doesn't do permanent damage, but it really does, like Liz and Rita were saying, you know, just takes you to a different place where colors are brighter. And, you know, there is a rock and roll element where there's a DJ. I think Howie Pyro is DJing.
I mean,
oh,
yeah. Not involved necessarily. I mean, everybody's personal choice, but, you know.
Yes, and there's another DJ named Señor Amor who spins, you know, Mexican cover versions of, you know, rock and roll hits. You know, when the Rolling Stones would have Satisfaction, you know, down in Mexico City, they'd want to have a Spanish language version of Satisfaction on a jukebox. So they'd have some Mexican garage band go in there and knock it out. So it's fun. There's this whole, you know, subculture of Mexican garage bands doing Kinks and Who and Rolling Stones and Tommy James and Shondell's songs that I've just learned so much about through going to Lucha Mavoom performances. It's a blast. Where did you get this record? Where can I get that? Hey, can you send me an MP3 of that?
Well, that's
hey,
very
Tom,
LA
those
too.
They're available on iTunes and Amazon.
That's what I was leading you into.
Nice plug, Rita.
Thank you.
Well, you know, that's a very strong L.A. tradition, too, is you had the Chicano bands back, you know, Richie Valens back to the 50s.
Absolutely.
Who were combining the cultures.
Cannibal and the Headhunters.
Exactly.
All those
absolutely
bands.
Question Mark and the Mysterians.
Question Mark, yeah, they were actually from Detroit, but yeah. Hey,
oh,
they played out here.
My bad.
They played out here a lot,
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs from Texas, of course.
Absolutely.
You had that whole Southwest.
Studio.
You know, Mexican-American rock and roll tradition. It's, man, I love
that. Oh,
my
favorite, the Texas
stuff.
Tornadoes.
Absolutely.
The song had playing at his birthday party.
That's right, the Texas Tornadoes. Yeah, I want to be
famous so I can have them play at my birthday party sometime.
Yeah, gosh, think how I feel.
It's
Cleveland.
It kind of takes over your life, Eric. So I think we need you to come back home and come to the show with us.
God, we do. We need me to be in the show.
I feel like you have the right energy to help host sometime.
Really?
And
do I yell
it
and talk quickly enough?
I think you've got the right stuff. You got
Fittingly wired for it, I think.
We've had very talented comedians that are just dumbstruck, and they just sit there with their mouths open, and you're like, say something. But they're just, like, staring at everything. But,
hello?
Who's there? We have a caller from 915. Who is there?
This is the Liberace of Lucha Libre, Cassandra Alexotico.
I was hoping it was you. You look. Are you the handsomest man? Are you the handsomest man in this profession?
Well, yes, I am.
And
the queen of the ring.
The queen of the ring.
Amazing stuff. Well, why don't you give us a little bit of your background, Mr. Cassandro? You are a wrestler. You are a man of Hollywood glamour. You're a floor wax and a dessert topping.
If you want to say that, I'm just a Liberace of Lucha Libre. I do the glamour. I can be a man and I can be a woman. I've been wrestling for 24 years. Lucha Vavoom has been the greatest thing that has happened to me. Sexo y violencia. I'm so happy that I get to work for the best company in Lucha Libre and Burlesque together. As far as me, I have a lot of story. I don't know. I'm world champion twice right now, and I get to be part of Lucha Baboom, and I wish people will come down and see it this Oktoberfest, where I'll be the master of ceremony in the greatest show on earth.
Cassandra got to wrestle with Hijo del Santo at the Louvre in Paris.
You mean not the Louvre in Cleveland?
No. I thought you said the Lou, like a bathroom.
You know, they're pretty Lou.
It was tight. It was tight. Yes, it is. It is. And I was going to make reference to that, to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, earlier when Tom was saying, you know, it's kind of a contradiction in terms, you know, writing about rock and roll is kind of a dispassionate way of experiencing it. A lot of people feel that way about the Rock Hall. I like it, you know, and it's certainly it's great for Cleveland. But on the other hand, the proof is in the pudding. I haven't been there in 5 years, and I don't live that far away. So, you know, it's a great place to visit. Everyone who's interested in the history of rock should certainly check it out. There's all kinds of great knickknacks there, you know, pertinent to the history, and there's great shows that come through and all that. But, yeah, it is, I mean, it's kind of a bloodless, you know, approach to it.
Well, we need to start a Lucha Libre Hall of Fame.
With God, yes, and that would not be bloodless.
You know, speaking of the rock and roll, speaking of the rock and roll Lucha Libre connection, I've often described Cassandro to people. You know, they say, "What's he like?" And I go, "Well, you know, he's like, his aesthetic is like Iggy Pop or something. Like, you know, he gets out there and he just wants to. He'll do anything to please that audience. And there's a real workmanlike." You know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but he's a performer's performer,
yeah.
And Cassandro
is the best. He has done things, and he will take risks to his own physical being that we can't believe that he's doing. And he's funny, and he's colorful, and he's he's fearless. Yeah,
that's why I'm injured right now. That's why I have so many surgeries, and I've been paralyzed before, but. You know, Lucha Libre is not a beauty salon either, but I get to please the people because everything in my 24 years as a career, everything that I am is thanks to the fans and thanks to the people because I got to remember that I'm in the ring to show off my talent in Lucha Libre techniques, which I do. I really put a lot of my input in the ring. You know, I'm not only one of those that makes you laugh and kisses all my opponents. I get in the ring to work my ass off and to please the people as well. I
and
give
you get
it
hurt.
My 120%.
That's an important distinction because there's a lot of exoticos, but they're kind of like rodeo clowns a little bit. I mean, don't take any offense, Cassandra, but Cassandra is primarily an extremely talented wrestler and secondarily an exotico, I'd say, and his championship belts and everything else and his record really speaks.
Yeah, he's
about.
A daredevil. You know, I said Iggy Pop, I meant Iggy Knievel.
Oh,
Iggy
okay.
Knievel.
Yeah, I can jump from
a
three-story high
Iggy
and
Knievel.
I can fly into everything. And you know, one of the best things that I love about my job is the connection that I can connect with the fans and I can give the fans what their ticket was worth and plus more. Because that's the important thing for the people to come back and see. Like in Lucha Vavoom, you see the greatest performers there and the best wrestlers come there. And people want to see more. That's why they keep coming back. And that's why Lucha Vavoom has been so successfully in its 10 years in working, you know. And that's why we travel a lot. And everywhere I go, there's always the question, oh, Lucha Vavoom. See, I'm already being identified or labeled like a Lucha Vavoom, which I work in so many big companies around the world, but the people recognize me by Lucha Vavoom.
That says a lot. That, I mean, that's really quite a statement if you think about it. That's something that... that you guys should be proud of when you have
such a star,
when you have an icon of this form and recognized. Hello?
Oh, yes.
I don't know, something weird happened to my phone. That is not
unusual.
Yeah, God, yes.
Okay.
We got him. I got them in my pockets, you know. Get out of there. God, leave me alone. So anyway, sorry about that. I was just going to say, when you're an icon of your field, like Cassandro is, and when he's recognized for a specific outlet, you know, of that talent, namely your show, that's a quite a statement about your show.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we really strove to do throughout this journey, this 10-year journey, is to keep our street cred with Lucha. Right, Cassandro? Right, Rita? We really wanted to honor Lucha Libre, not imitate it, not parody it, not water it down. We wanted to honor Lucha Libre and keep it real.
It's no soap opera. It doesn't have a cut. It's just... it's right to the core. It's just Lucha Libre with classic technique and a lot of preparation. And not only body wise and in gear wise, but in the ring you gotta have some talent and some presence, because that's what people look a lot for us. You know, we come from this Mexican Lucha Libre where the evil versus the good, and it's like a big religion in Mexico and around the world. And that's why we keep to respecting Lucha Libre. And in Lucha Baboon, what has happened is that the people has come to nurture and love Lucha Libre, that it's not soap opera, it's not so many promos, it's not just a microphone. People fell in love with themselves or with their body. We're there to give the people a great show, and it takes a lot to put on a great show. And I'm very anal about when it comes to performing in the ring, and I'm very hardcore, and I'm very strict in my condition as a luchador. And that's what I bring to the company. I just want the best luchadores and the best matches to come out, you know, sweet and short, but the people want more. And I'll make anybody do crazy shit like I do, and I'm so well respected that for the most part they'll agree to my insanities of putting a match together.
Yes, actually, Cassandro also puts the matches together for us. Well, we do it together, all of us, all three of us. But Cassandro really runs the locker room with an iron fist.
Well,
he's putting the card together, the wrestling card, right?
With a rhinestone fist. That's
with,
right.
And a jutting jaw.
Yes. You see that picture of him flying off the balcony. You know?
I love that. It's just, whoa, it's like, I don't want it to end, you know, kind of suspended in space forever.
I have to tell you, he does that voluntarily. We don't ask him to do that. I would never ask him to do
Blake?
That.
You mean the law did not force this behavior?
Right, jump off that balcony or we'll kill your family. Yeah, they do not do that. This whole family of people that put on the show, like even the comedians, I feel the commentators aren't being snarky or making fun of Lucha Libre. I know I'm not, you know, because I respect it. We're definitely
lame.
fellow travelers and fellow.
He's stretching
performers.
Out his blowhole.
What's that?
So maybe Blaine. He's stretching out his blowhole. Shamu leaps from the opportunity. Classic rivalry between a black man and a chicken.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're definitely cracking wise and doing color commentary and pointing out some of the ridiculousness of you know what's going on before our very eyes, but it's done in a very respectful way. I mean, it really is the closest that I'll ever come to running away and joining a circus. You know, it's like Toby Tyler. You know, it's like I jump on the train.
Hey, I seem to remember you and Blaine one time not knowing that a couple of the wrestlers, Dr. Wagner and Psicosis, spoke English, and they came up to the stand and they dragged Blaine into the ring. You remember that?
Well, I knew that I knew that Dr. Wagner spoke enough English to scream "Shut the f up" at me 25 times in an epic succession. Like, wow, he knows those four words.
The picture of Blaine, he looks like he's in the process of shitting his pants, like right then and there. Can I say that? I'm sorry.
Yes, you just did.
You can't take it back.
Yeah, Dr. Wagner dragged me into the ring and basically broke me over his knee and tossed me to the security guard at the side of the ring.
It was beautiful.
And my wife, who was sitting in the audience and had no idea about any of this, was ready to jump into the ring herself, like this soccer mom goes mental.
Like a computer wife.
The best sex of his whole life.
Exactly, like Karen the computer.
I knew that. Cassandra, I have a question. Now, is there an actual school? I mean, is there an official kind of training process to become a luchador? You know, or is it more of an ad hoc kind of thing?
No. Well, nowadays, a lot of the so-called wrestlers are YouTube or internet wrestling, or they just watch TV and they want to do the same thing. But to be a true professional wrestler, it takes a lot of commitment, discipline, and sacrifice, and it takes many years in the making of a luchador. You never end up being a total luchador, because you learn something every day, as I have to keep training on my body, on my mind, on my spirit, and it takes a lot of work. It's very hard to become a wrestler, and especially there's a lot of schools, but there's always the schools with the wrong motives, just to get money out of you and stuff like that. But there's very good trainers out there, but it takes a whole commitment to see what level of luchador you want to become. As for me, I had to go more than a year and 6 months to even get in the ring, and it's very sacrificing. And it's been the best, greatest job that I have, but it takes a lot, and you sacrifice a lot, your body and family and everything is worth. But there's always a very disciplined school that you got to go to.
Aren't a lot of the wrestlers, especially in Mexico, usually mentored by another wrestler? Like the whole school of wrestlers, including Rey Mysterio Jr. in the WWE, that were all trained by Rey Mysterio Sr. in Tijuana, for instance. Like a lot of the best wrestlers have a mentor that's famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like David Carradine in the old Kung Fu TV series. You know?
I was thinking while listening to all that, I was thinking the sumo tradition. It sounds to me like it's not dissimilar to what the sumo people have to go through, because that's a life, that's a full life commitment.
Well, it's almost the same, because it's a full life commitment, and it's very strict. And, what has happened throughout the years is that people just take it for granted, or they just want to be show-offs, or they just want an opportunity. But once they get into the real thing, because you'll know who's a real luchador and who's just like, it's not worth a penny. And if you want to put your name out there, you got to work with the best. So that's why you got to train with the best. And even me, that I have mentor a lot of the luchadores, not only exóticos, and I have a passion for it. That's why I train with a lot of the new guys, and I try to teach them how to have a respect for lucha libre, first of all, and you have to respect the audience and your body, and of course, the great technique will always be shown in the ring, and that's your best recommendation, your own work inside the ring.
One of the wrestlers that Cassandra has been mentoring over a number of years is now doing very well in the WWE. Right?
Ah!
Who
care to mention his name?
Yeah. His name is
Unico, like Unico.
Oh, okay, cool. Well,
and I have mentored a lot of the guys that are out there right now, there's Magno, there's Unico, there's a lot of the people that still like recognize my talent. And everywhere I travel, especially when I go to Europe, I always get calls like, can you make a clinic over here? Can you come and teach us some lucha libre style? And I go to Japan or Europe, and I always get calls like that, because people want to learn. And not only because it's me as an exótico, but they respect that I'm an exótico with class and technique.
I don't think we had a chance to explain, like, what the difference is between lucha libre and, American style wrestling.
Please do.
Cassandra would be good at that.
I bet.
I don't know. I mean, I...
wrestling in American style is more promo. They have the money to do all these promos and talk about like a soap opera, and there's always these storylines and all this drama. And in Lucha Libre, we don't do that. Our best promo and our best drama is inside the ring. You know, we don't talk in the microphone. We talk inside the rings with our matches.
Yeah, we're not like Hulk Hogan. You know, we don't need a sex tape. Our show is the sex tape.
Yeah, especially in Lucha Baboom, where you get everything, sex and violence in one. You know, we fly into the people and fly into the breasts, into the legs, and all that stuff. And people just love it, you know. But, you know, that's what happens with luchadores. We give it our all because we know how to wrestle, not only how to talk in a microphone or because we're big and on steroids or stuff like that. In Lucha Libre, we are very petite. There's a lot of petite. Like, I'm not a big guy. I'm 5'1". I weigh 175 pounds. But I can take easily a 300 man down in a second. And that's because I know my technique. And that's what happens. I'm not only all my body and I'm full of myself. You know, I have techniques to wrestle.
I feel
he's like a flamboyant. Cassandro is like a flamboyant, well-coiffed Yoda.
He takes out his vanity on his outfit. But I feel
I believe it.
Because it's more high-flying. It's really acrobatic. It's really entertaining. Stuff they can do, it just defies gravity. It's not so much grappling at our show. It's like people flying off the top rope.
Well, it's not that
steroidal
anger so much that American
that's one of
has,
that's
yeah.
one of the difference yeah. between Lucha Libre and wrestling, that we don't only are holding and touching very close to each other. We high fly, and it's just like a Cirque du Soleil in the ring as well, with all its gravity that's why we get hurt a lot, because we do the unexpected with the ropes and the high flying. That's one of the things that there's a lot of wrestling styles like in Japan, in Europe, in America. But in Mexico, one of the things that really puts us out there is that we fly a lot, and the way that we connect with our opponent is just magnificent.
Dang.
I
want to know how to fly.
I got pile-drived by two wrestlers at Cassandra's benefit in Mexico about a month ago. Cracked a rib, and yeah. I wouldn't want to do that every night.
And once you see, you know, once you go to your first Lucha Libre match, it kind of makes everything else seem boring. You know, like American-style wrestling or WWE or whatever just seems a little bit dull after you see, you know, a Lucha Libre, like, you know, where there's masks and capes and guys, you know, doing triple somersaults and jumping off of balconies, and there's minis and exoticas. It's kind of like everything else seems a little bit, it's kind of like you've just had a big bowl of Captain Crunch and then you got to go back to, you know, total.
Yeah, and what also happens a lot is that the people get so involved and so passionate, they scream at you, they make it, the show's really fun when you put the people in there. I mean,
yeah.
I've been stabbed by fans, I've been thrown beers.
Yeah, that was great!
I
know some old lady tried to beat up my boyfriend with an umbrella at one show.
Oh, my.
So people get so passionate about it that they either root for the evil or they root for the good. And people and it's not like in Japan where you go and sit down and people don't even say shit to nobody. They just clap or go like, ooh, oh, ah. It's like having a sex match or something.
What was that thing? I got to quote it. I saw this thing that said, in Japan, wrestling is a tradition. In Mexico, it's a religion, and in the United States, it's a joke.
Yep.
Well,
I love that.
That summarizes it pretty well. Yeah, this is really, really interesting. I hope. Oh, by the way, we're going to say, do you have a tour planned for after Halloween?
We do, but we can't talk about it yet.
Sorry.
Oh. Wow. I know.
When should people start looking for that information?
Way to promote.
Something like 2 weeks. Yeah, it's
our
website. We don't want to jinx it, so we don't want to say anything until we have ink to paper.
And we're asked not to mention
paper.
It.
Yeah.
But just go to the website. That website will be updated soon, so all the information is there.
Doesn't include Ohio.
Doesn't include Ohio. This is a hotbed of Latino culture.
We don't do swing dates. Sorry. I'm just joking.
We have Mexican restaurants here. We know about Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, good.
I want to hear a Mexican garage band do Go All the Way by the Raspberries. Come on.
Oh, that would rock.
Can you
get totally rock.
I found Behind the Green Door in Spanish. So maybe they did that. You never know.
Well, look, the Beatles re-recorded all their early songs in German.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Did they personally sing it in German?
Yes, they did.
Sure, phonetically, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if they – well, by then they probably had picked up a fair amount of German. Yeah, that's where they really came together.
Well, they started out in Hamburg. I mean, they were in Hamburg for a while. So.
Yeah, they were there, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years, and
for
playing five sets a night. Think of that.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Okay,
that's
guys.
Where they
I
became
wanna,
this hard
I want to thank
unit.
You. I got to leave you guys. I got to go to the gym and prepare myself for Lucha Baboom October 5th.
Amazing.
So I want anybody who's listening to this around the L.A. area, please come and enjoy the best show in the earth. And what an honor to have me part of this interview. And viva Lucha Libre.
Thank you so much, Cassandra.
Thanks, Cassandra.
Amazing, amazing stuff. And you presented your whole world view and how all this works really well. I appreciate your checking in. Thanks so much.
No, thank you. And Lucha! Baba! Lucha! Baba! Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think
hey, you know, if I'm going to be in the show, now check this out. I can do this. Over and over
right
again.
A lot of the audience is doing that, and you know we are. It's sponsored by a tequila company, so that helps. And you know, our fine sponsors. And you know, the fun thing is, you know, a large portion of the audience is dressed up and in character, even when it's not the Halloween show.
You know what? I wanted to ask you that. What percentage, about, of the audience is Latin American, you know, or Mexican American versus, or Mexican for that matter, versus white people?
We have like degrees of Hispanics here in California. There's like,
well, that's true.
What we call like assimilated immigrants who've lived here for a long time. They were born in Mexico and lived here for a long time. And those people, we get a lot of those kind of people are Mexican Americans that were born here. Because their parents watched Lucha, and they grew up watching Lucha with their parents or their grandparents, and it's nostalgic to them, but we kind of couch it in a hipper way, which allows them to embrace it all over again.
Yeah, because
they're
American, you know, they're Americans too, so there's, you know, I mean, there's second and third generation you know, Hispanic and Mexican people that are at these shows, along with you know, honky hipsters and everything in between. It really is. I like it because it's so reflective of, you know, Los Angeles, like just the soup con of what Los Angeles is all about.
Yeah, the audience is really diverse, and I think the common denominator is fun.
I think it's like pretty much anybody over 21 who likes to have fun.
Yeah,
because there's a big age disparity too, which is really fun. It's not just all 21-year-olds or 25-year-olds or 35-year-olds or 45-year-olds. There's, you know, you see people in their 50s, mid-50s, and on up at the Lucha in the Lucha Vavoom audience too. It's really a diverse, you know, diverse not just ethnically, but also temporally.
And we do have a fair share of celebrities being in L.A., like Eric Idle and who else? Like tons of people.
Jack Black. Harry Dean Stanton spent his 70th birthday with us.
How fun.
Jack Black actually gave us credit for his inspiration for Nacho Libre.
I was wondering about that because I saw him quoting on you guys and saying you are the shit. And I figured there had to be some catch. I was just thinking of something else, too. What was that cartoon? It didn't last very long.
Oh, Mucha Lucha. Yeah, those
Mucha
two
Lucha,
are
yeah.
They're really good friends of ours. They live here in L.A. now.
Were you involved with that, Tom?
You know, I did some stuff here and there with them, you know, towards the end of the show's run. And, yeah, they were definitely Lucha fans who, you know, unlike a lot of people, you know, you really would see them down there getting their hands dirty, you know, going to the neighborhoods to see Lucha Libre. So, you know, they weren't, you know, they were really into it, and they wanted to, you know, incorporate that into a kids show. You know, they were great. They were, you know, not carpetbaggers at all. And, you know, the only unfortunate thing about that cartoon was that because it's now, or relatively now, is a handful of years ago, you know, they couldn't show a lot of hitting. It's like you're doing a show about wrestling, but you can't show the wrestling a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
you don't want to like encourage your kids to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah,
right?
You know that. You know, not like us, Eric. You know, we grew up on the Three Stooges and Popeye cartoons.
God, yes.
Roadrunner, that was my favorite.
Yeah, so beating the shit out of each other was kind of a way of life for us, you know. And you know, I had four siblings, so it really was. But you know,
my mom actually used to encourage us to beat the shit out of each other.
Exactly, they were really, I thought, ingenious at doing a show and finding their way out of that conundrum where you're doing a show about you know, violencia, but you can't show any violencia because you know, parents groups will bum out at you. So, and I think they succeeded brilliantly.
Oh yeah, it was a fun show. I liked it. I was sad when it kind of got shoved to the you know, to the ghetto of Nicktoons.
Yeah, it had a good run though.
Yeah,
oh,
I knew it was on Nicktoons.
Oh,
so you
might be talking about El Tigre as well.
Because
there was Mucha Lucha and there was El Tigre. I don't know if Mucha Lucha was ever on Nickelodeon. I don't know. Was that on Kids?
You're right. I'm talking about El Tigre. You're
okay.
Right.
Okay. I forgot that there's actually been more than one.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that either.
Entirely.
And then
very interesting. Hey, how many people? How many performers are in the show? It sounds like it's quite a huge cast.
In
LA, it gets up to about 40, doesn't it? Like with all the ring girls.
Well, our anniversary show, we usually have around 12 wrestlers, and then we have referee, ring announcer, comedians. Usually 6 dancers. For our anniversary show, we had 20 wrestlers and 12 dancers.
Yeah, that was insane.
Big blowout.
Yeah, so 40 is a pretty safe.
Wow.
I'd say
a gangbang.
About 40. When we go on the road, we can't get away with less than 22 people.
Oh, I would think it's all about the extravaganza. It's the pageantry.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
Well, amazing stuff. Let us remind people, because, boy, what a quick hour. What a pleasure. Thanks so much. I really appreciate you guys calling in, and wish you nothing but the best with the show. And I'm absolutely going to follow as soon as it's announced where you're touring, because if there's somewhere closer to here, or hopefully I can get out to L.A. It's been a little while now. I've been in the middle of some other things. Usually I get out there at least every couple of years, but
come
it's starting
out.
To. I know. I got to. Now I'm start, you know how it is. Starting new businesses and this and that, and I still have young kids, and man, all. And now I'm in a band. I'm in a band for the first time in 30 years.
Nice.
Wow. It is fun.
What
yes, that shows. Oh, we're, you know, we're cover band, everything. We got 3 singers. It's actually my wife, it's my older daughter, and me are the singers.
Wow, you guys are like the Von Trapps.
We kind of are. People have compared us to that, except we're much louder and more obnoxious.
Great.
I mean, we're everything from Motown to the Ramones. To Katy Perry and everything in between. We do a lot of real hard edge stuff. You know, I beat on my Les Paul, and then we have a more delicate side. My daughter has a really soulful, kind of rootsy voice. And then my wife has a low woman's voice, so she sings our high male rock star voice that I can't do, at least not anymore. And yeah. So it's quite a combination where we are eclectic, as they say.
Well,
in
that
ways
sounds fun. We'll I think you need to combine the Olsen Family Band and Lucha Vavoom into one crazy nonstop.
God, yes! Explosion of orgasmic wonderfulness is what
exactly.
It would be.
Exactly. Orgasmic wonderfulness.
Right on. All right, so let's sell this thing one more time.
Okay.
We're talking, the show is Lucha Vavoom. Check out the website, LUCHAVAVOOM.com. All the information is there. What a great site. I love it. It's so colorful and fun.
There's plenty of stuff, like lots of pictures and videos.
Oh, pictures out the butt. Luchadores, striptease, comedy. Yeah, we didn't talk a whole lot about the babes. As I understand it,
I know.
Someone here in our presence is one of the babes.
It's true.
Yeah, it's
I'm Ursulina on the website.
Yes, Ursulina is Rita's not-so-secret identity.
Coolness. It's the coolest. Well, I'll tell you what. Our time is up. What an amazing, amazing hour. I had so much fun. It went so fast. Wish you guys only the best. Hope the 25th and the 26th at the Mayan in downtown Los Angeles are explosive orgasmic sellouts. And people just explode out the door. Stuff like that.
Eric, since I was declared dead on Twitter last month, I feel uniquely qualified to be on America's Most Haunted.
Welcome.
Yes. I'm speaking from the other side. Yes.
Oh, I knew we'd get a voice. I knew we'd eventually get a voice.
Oh, all you got to do is ask, Eric. You know that. All right. So we'll
We wanted to stay focused on the Vavoom action.
I think
here.
that is a great thing to do. We'll talk again. We're kindred spirits, all of us.
Tom, actually, when I got the bio, I have an idea. So we will talk, I hope.
Okay,
but again,
I had one of those once. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. It's something to look forward to. So, again, thank you so much. Really, really enjoyed speaking with you. I would love nothing more than to see the show. I vow. I will see this show, although I don't think I'll make it.
Anybody who can get there, we'll see you on October 25th and 26th at the Mayan Theater in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Wow. That was like a pro. That's like a guy who does voiceovers. That's
right,
like a guy who does every day, who does voiceovers.
It's so fun. It's the best job in the world. And we'll talk about it further, because I want to hear your idea.
All right. Excellent. All right. Lucha Vavoom, thank
bye.
You so much. Hasta luego.
Bye-bye,
my friends.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night.